The risen Christ proves he is the only way of salvation. That is the message I have here today for you, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what color your skin is. I'm telling you today, this message is for you. No matter what religion you say you would follow, this is for people who would say they're Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or even atheist. Doesn't matter. If you're breathing today, this message is for you. I'm here to tell you today that the risen Christ proves he is the only way of salvation. So that's what we're going to talk about. You know, when you talk about the resurrection, we're talking about the person of Jesus Christ getting back up from the dead. Not a light thing. So I want you to know, folks, that the living God in heaven, he knows what he's doing. And I'm here to tell you today that the Son of God was sent down from heaven by the Father, born into this world, announced by the very angels of heaven. Now, that's where we're going to begin right here. Book of Luke, chapter 2. Let's look at verse 8 to 11 here. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. That's good stuff, folks. So listen to what it says. Good tidings of great joy. Don't miss this. Which shall be to all people. Okay? This is Jewish and Gentile. Nobody's exempt here, folks. So if you're Jewish and you say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe that he's the Messiah, well, I'm here to tell you today, this message is for you, whether you believe that or not. It's for you. So we see the city of David is mentioned here, and that is the town of Bethlehem. And I'm going to show you that this birth of Christ into the world was prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years before the event actually took place. And you can find that in the book of Micah, M-I-C-A-H, chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Don't miss that. So the one to be born, ladies and gentlemen, in Bethlehem is from everlasting. What does that mean? He has no beginning. So this Christ that I preach to you today, folks, we know that he was born into this world approximately 2,000 years ago, but I'm here to tell you today that he's from everlasting. He's eternal. He's deity. He's divine. Don't miss this. You know, this is the gospel I'm bringing forth to you today, folks. It'll all fit together, and you'll understand more concerning the resurrection, the risen Christ, when you understand that we're talking about divinity. So the one who was born out of the womb of the Jewish virgin was from everlasting. He was not a created being, as some of the people like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Society would have you believe. He wasn't Michael the Archangel previously, okay? So Christ came into this world. You can study the word. You'll find that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and deity, divinity came into the world. Hallelujah. And God had one thing in mind. He had the sinner man. He had the sinner woman in mind, folks. People like you and me, the ungodly wretches of the world. And that's everybody. You know, when you come to that realization that you are an ungodly wretch, you can understand things a lot better. Interesting, folks, you know, that Christ was born in Bethlehem, okay? Now, if you go and look at the book of Luke, you can look in chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, you'll see that Caesar Augustus called a decree for people to be taxed throughout the world, okay? So everyone had to go to their own city. So here's Joseph. He was of the line of David. So he went along with Mary to Bethlehem to obey this decree that was given by Caesar Augustus. And it was during that time period when Mary brought forth Jesus into the world. Isn't that awesome? So here a decree is called, and now prophecy is fulfilled that Christ was born in Bethlehem. Now, if that tax decree was not called, he would not have been there. So this is totally awesome the way God works, folks. You know, it's amazing stuff. So fulfillment of prophecy is what we are talking about. Let's go now. I want to show you a prophecy from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 61. Let's look at verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." So, this is a prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, found in the Old Testament, and it's speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. Awesome stuff here, folks. I get excited when I talk about prophecy, because it validates the Word of God. It validates the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're not believing in some pie in the sky type of religion here, folks. We're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faith that is based upon the truth that is found within the Scriptures. Oh, yes, that's what we're talking about. So if you see here, it's just talking about the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. So you remember at the very beginning when the angel of the Lord came, and what did he say? "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." So it's the same message, folks, and it's all about Christ. So you need to see this. So I'm going to show you now the fulfillment, what happened when the Lord went to preach. Look at this in Luke chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." That's good tidings, good news. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Powerful stuff, folks. Now, that's a fulfillment. As I said to you, it's a fulfillment of the prophecy that was given by the prophet Isaiah hundreds upon hundreds of years before Jesus walked into the synagogue, folks. So Jesus is now telling all the people, their eyes were locked upon him. He's saying, "Look, guys, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So I want you to see something, folks. Remember the name Christ, that means Messiah. I'm here to tell you today that the Messiah came, okay? He fulfilled the scriptures that are found in the Old Testament. He fulfilled what the prophets said would happen. Listen up, Jewish people. You need to hear this. The Messiah I preach to you today is the one you need if you want to be saved. Oh, listen up. Listen up, Gentiles, okay? So this is beautiful stuff, folks, when you think of prophecy fulfilled. The gospel, that's the good tidings. Good tidings, great joy. So now keep this in mind. Either Jesus fulfilled this prophecy or he did not. So you have the opportunity, like anybody else, to search these things out for yourself. Now, we are living in a day when the Bible, folks, is so freely available to you. On cell phones, you can go and download apps from all sorts of websites and get the Bible, folks. We don't know how good we have it, I'm telling you. And you can read the Bible. You can read commentaries and get them for free. Now, I remember pre-internet, folks. You know, I got saved in 1989. So when I started buying up commentaries and so on and so forth, Bibles and stuff, there wasn't stuff like you get today downloading on the internet. So, you know, there'll be no excuse. That's what I want to let you know, folks. And something else, you know, as it comes to mind, you know, it's good. You know, you can download these things to your phone, to your iPad or your Kindle or whatever you got. But remember, it's something to think about. When the electricity goes out, what do you have? When you have no batteries to charge, what do you have? You have nothing. So keep that in mind. You might want to get a backup, like a hard copy or something, folks. Why do I say that? Because we do not know what is coming, especially for believers who want the Word of God, who depend upon the Word of God. We love the Word of God. We love reading the Bible, and the Bible's under attack. The truth is under attack. So you keep that in mind. So the beauty, folks, I want to talk to you as we talk about this resurrection of Christ, that he got back up from the dead. It's important, as I said, that you know who he is, okay? So let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. Going to look at verse 1 to 3 here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, who's that talking about? I'm going to show you, folks, that this is talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I get excited by this stuff, folks. You should too. You know, when I was born again, you know, the deity, the divinity of Christ, you know, when Christ comes alive inside your heart, new birth, you're regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit of truth that shows you these things, folks. You say, I'm nothing without Christ. I'm nothing but a wretch. And he showed me mercy, been washed in his blood. Okay, so that's what I want to get across to you today, no matter who you are, that you can be saved, that you can be born again, and God will light these things up to you. That's what we're dealing with here, folks, when we talk about Christ. So as I said, I'm going to prove to you that the Word is speaking of Christ. And don't forget, look at what it says here. The Word was with God. And then it goes on to say the Word was God. What? What does this mean? Let's go down to verse 10 in the same chapter 1. It says, he was in the world, meaning Christ, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So, once again, folks, it says he was in the world. Now listen, and the world was made by him. What? Folks, the Christ that I preached to you today, I'm here to tell you, he made the world. He created all things. That's what the scriptures tell us. So don't be telling me that Jesus Christ is not God. Don't. You can pull that on somebody. Don't pull it on me. I read the Word of God, folks. I have the Bible. We're talking deity. talking divinity. If you want to follow a religion that does not believe in the deity of Christ, that's your privilege. I don't hate you. I'm here giving you this message because I love you, okay? So it says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. What does that mean? That's speaking about him coming to his own Jewish people, and a majority of the Jewish people did not receive him. They rejected him. They did not believe he was the Messiah, and that is true today. Here we are 2,000 years later, roughly. It's the same way. Trust me, folks. I've shared the gospel with Jewish people. You know this is true if you're a Christian. But it says here, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or children of God, male, female, doesn't matter. You put your faith in Christ, you will become a child of God. Let's skip down. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word that we learned was with God and was God. It says the Word was made flesh. So this is Christ coming into the world out of the womb of the Virgin Mary. Okay, remember, she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it wasn't the result of relations with her and Joseph. Okay, this was a supernatural thing that took place. So this is who we're dealing with when we talk about Christ. For some of you, you know, maybe you didn't look at it this way before, okay? So I want to show you, when he walked this earth, folks, he revealed himself to be the Messiah to people. Now I'm going to show you, he revealed himself to be the Messiah to a Gentile Samaritan woman. Okay, this woman, you can find this in John chapter 4. You can look it up. He spoke to that woman about the living water, talking about the, which means the Holy Spirit. This woman was married five times before. She was living with a man who was not her husband. So here's the Lord ministering to her. They had a conversation, and at one point in the conversation, Jesus said this to her. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, meaning Messiah, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Wow, folks, that blows me away every time I read that. Here's Jesus revealing himself. He says, I'm the Messiah. I that speak unto thee am he. Now, you know, the woman said to him, she says, I know when Messiah's coming, he's going to tell us all things. He just told her, you know, he told her to go call your husband. And she says, I have no husband. He says, you're right. In fact, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with is not your husband. So he revealed things about her. So, you know, this got her attention. So, you know, who knows what was going on in her mind. And that's why she probably said to him at this point, I know when Messiah comes, he will tell us all things, because he just told her everything about her. Okay? She's probably wondering, how did this guy know what was going on in my life? So I want you to see, folks, there's no reason to be waiting for the Messiah because he came already. So the Jewish people who are still waiting for the Messiah, they missed it, folks. They missed the day or the time of their visitation. Christ came into the world, and they need him today as much as they needed him back when he walked this earth. So, you know, the Lord did many things. You know, he showed forth his power when he was walking in the world. He did all sorts of miracles. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the deaf, healed the lame. He cast out demons. He raised the dead, including a man named Lazarus that was dead for 4 days. Is it incredible? So here's this guy, Lazarus. He's dead for 4 days. My, oh my. And the Lord raised him from the dead. In fact, when he went there, one of his sisters said, you know, Lord, his body stinks now. You know, he's dead 4 days. But the Lord raised that man from the dead. That's the power, folks. That's the Jesus that I'm talking to you about today. There was another time when the Lord calmed a raging storm at sea. I mean, he was on a boat with his disciples, and the boat was taken on water. So their clothes were probably soaking wet. Where was Jesus? He was sleeping. Isn't this amazing? Now, let me read a part to you here from Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is beautiful, folks. This is beautiful. They're saying, who is this guy? How do you go in a storm and rebuke the storm and say, stop, and the storm stops? That's just what he did, folks. That's the Jesus I preached to you today, folks. This is the Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. This is the one you need to know. So, you know, the Lord knew as he walked in this world that his days were numbered on this earth. Oh, yes. And many times he prophesied of his own death and his own resurrection. Let me give you one of those from Matthew chapter 16. Let's look at verse 21. It says, From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now think about this. Jesus knew they were going to kill him. My, oh my. That's what it says here. So he says the elders, he's talking about the Jewish elders, the Jewish chief priests, the Jewish scribes. He said they're going to condemn him to death. That's what took place. He says, I'm going to be killed. But then he says, I'm going to be raised again the third day. Oh, yes. So let's go to John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Hallelujah. So here's another time when the Lord prophesied his own death, and he referred to his body as a temple. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So he's talking the same thing. He's talking that he's going to be killed, and on the third day he's getting back up again. So the Jewish people, the leaders, they didn't understand quite what he was talking about, and they're looking at the natural temple, the physical temple, but he was talking about the temple of his body. And if you notice, the disciples, they didn't get it until afterwards, after he was risen from the dead. Then he remembered what he said. And they knew that by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Lord shows you things, and you can only understand those things by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there can't be a resurrection until there's a death. And that, we're talking about the cross, ladies and gentlemen. So this is the cross. This is how a person can be redeemed by what Christ did on that same cross, ladies and gentlemen. You know, many people don't understand why Christ went to the cross. And once again, there's another prophecy found in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, famous prophecy, by the way. In fact, I've said it before, you know, when I was a new Christian, I walked into this church in Manhattan, New York City, and the guy was wearing a football shirt. It said Isaiah 53, and I went up to him, big tall guy. I said, what's that about? And he went on to explain. He says, that's a prophecy about Jesus Christ in the Bible. I was blown away. I was like, wow, I didn't even know that. So I was still wet behind the ears. But I tell you this, folks, I had a hunger for the Word of God ever since that day. Okay, so let me give you a portion from Isaiah chapter 53. As I said, this is a prophecy of the death of Christ upon the cross for us. And this prophecy came forth approximately 700 years before Christ was killed, crucified on the cross. It says, verse 5, chapter 53, Isaiah, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement or punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, folks, here we are, a bunch of ungodly wretches. It says, everyone turned to his own way. We all do our own thing. Come on. You know I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, it's party time. Let's go on a cruise. And people have a bucket list. I want to go on 50 cruises before I die. Party hard. Everybody circle to the left. Let's have fun. Let's get drunk. And that's it. Many people live that way. So it says here, we've all gone our own way. Okay? All we like sheep have gone astray. It says here, the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Wow. So, folks, when you think of the cross, it was prophesied, okay? The reason he went to the cross was for you, and it was for me, no matter who you are, okay? Whether you're Jewish, you're Muslim, you're Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, okay? If you're coming to heaven, you want to get to heaven, folks, I'm here to tell you today, it's all about the cross. He died for you. You got to turn to him, okay? So, let's see how the religious Jewish people dealt with Jesus right before he was killed. Mark chapter 14, verse 60. And the high priest, that's a Jewish high priest, stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, meaning Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? Listen, and they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. So they started beating the living daylights out of him, folks. Okay, so the high priest said, this is blasphemy. What do you think, guys? It says, and they all condemned him to be guilty of death. They knew exactly what they were doing, folks. Here was Christ before them, standing before them. And he said, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. You can find that prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. So here Jesus is saying, I'm the guy. I'm the one that's coming. I'm the one you need. And they said, no way. No way. This is blasphemy. Get him out of here. Guilty, condemned to be guilty of death. Wow. Heavy duty stuff, folks. Matthew 27, verse 35. It says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Another prophecy fulfilled. You do your research, you find it in the Old Testament. They prophesied this would happen. Here it is. Incredible stuff, folks. So, in the good news, ladies and gentlemen, The good news is that Christ got back up from the dead. That's the good news. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Let's start at verse 1. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away by the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." So what took place here, folks? You know, they arrived at the tomb, and now the stone is rolled away. And they're looking for Jesus. They said, "Where is he? What happened to him?" And now the angel, I love this. The angel said, you know, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." So it doesn't actually say angel. It says two stood in shining garments. Trust me, they were angels, folk. Glory to God. So they're saying, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" He's alive, folks. He is alive. You know, I remember many years ago, my oh my, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I say many times, as racist, the Catholic. I was unsaved. We were in Manhattan. We were doing some type of thing. I think it was probably around this Holy Week time. And we were marching with a crowd, and they were carrying this big cross. And we were given these sheets of paper to read something. I think it was in Latin. Folks, I was on my way to hell, bopping on a road to hell. And we were up, I think it was by, there used to be a Christian bookstore, I think like 43rd Street or something up there, and 9th or 10th or somewhere in there. And I remember somebody yelling out, you know, as we're going down the street, this big crowd chanting this stuff. I had no idea what it meant. And somebody yelled out, "He's alive! He's alive!" And I remember thinking to myself, gee, what's that chap talking about? Now I know. And that's what I'm here to tell you today, folks. He is alive. Don't seek the living among the dead, okay? He is alive. Glory to God. Luke 24, verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." Now, this is important, folks. You know, because the Jehovah's Witnesses, the people of the Watchtower Society, they believed that Jesus was Michael the Archangel, previously came into the world. He's Jesus, and then they believe he's Michael the Archangel again, okay? This is important. It's important that you know that the same Jesus that went to the cross rose. Oh, yes, he did. And it's the same Jesus that rose again. And he's trying to tell them, look, guys, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as ye see me have. So he's, you know, you got to realize that the disciples were in a state of shock. Now, think about it. He was brutally crucified. And they can't even comprehend what's going on here. I mean, they thought, this is it. It's over. He was killed. He was crucified. Now he's standing before them, and the Lord knows that. Verse 40, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat or food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them." This is beautiful. So now the Lord is ministering to his own followers. He's sharing a meal with them. He's eating a meal. The same one that was crucified on the cross, ladies and gentlemen. This is great stuff. Verse 44, "And he said unto them, Listen, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Hallelujah. So, don't miss this. He's tying it all together, folks. This is why it's so important, you know, when you listen to a preacher, search the scriptures for yourself. So here the Lord says, look, guys, you know, the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, everything they spoke about, it had to do with me, concerning me, okay? Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's beautiful, okay? So he says, this had to happen. And then he goes, verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins, removal of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. If you're listening here today, folks, and you're Jewish, listen to what is being said here. This message went first to the Jewish people, beginning at Jerusalem. No excuses. I'm here to tell you today, hear me. No excuse. You're Jewish, you say you don't believe in Jesus. I'm telling you, you need to believe in Jesus if you want to go to heaven, if you want salvation. I'm going to get real. I'm not going to give you some hogwash gospel that people might try to tell you. I'm here to tell you, you need Jesus if you want to be saved. Let's go to John chapter 20. Take a look at Thomas, the one who didn't believe what he heard. John chapter 20, verse 24. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So this is heavy stuff. So his fellow disciples, think about this. He's walking with his disciples for over 3 years with the Lord. And you can imagine the passion that they were probably speaking to him, saying, Thomas, we saw him. And he didn't believe it. He basically says, you know, when I see the hands, you know, the holes in the hands, I'm going to put my finger in there and thrust my hand into his side. He knew he was pierced. He says, when I thrust my hand, then otherwise I will not believe. Now look at this, verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Wow. Now, look at that. My Lord and my God. We're talking divinity. We're talking deity. People will try to twist that. You know, people in the cults would say, oh, no. They were just surprised. Like you know, when people say, oh, my God, that's all that he did. That's, folks, if you want to talk that way, you're going to remain unsaved in darkness. If you want to get saved, listen to what I'm teaching you today, folks. Okay, so Thomas doubted, and he says, you know, I won't believe it until I do this. I stick my fingers in the holes in the hands and thrust my hand into his side. You know what? The Lord heard that, folks. The Lord heard it. And 8 days later, here he shows up and went right to Thomas, said, Thomas, come here. Take your finger. Here's my hands. Here's my side. You know, thrust it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believing. This is awesome stuff, folks. Awesome stuff. Verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ or Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So look what's being said here, folks. It says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So the Jewish people, they don't believe he's the Messiah, nor do the Muslims. It says that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Both of those groups do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we're dealing with billions of people, folks. A lot of people. You're hearing a word here. So either what I'm telling you today is true or it's not. Think about that. Either it's true or it's not. Jesus said he's the way. You better believe it. So it's up to you. So I'm here to tell you that all power has been given to Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, listen to what he said. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Does that sound like deity? Divinity? Of course it does. Who is all power in heaven? Who is all power in earth? Only God does, folks. And here Jesus said, that power has been given unto me. Wow. Deity, deity, deity. Let's talk about the blood and how you can get saved and know it, folks. I don't care who you are, as I said, to begin this teaching that way. This is the deal. Either you're washed in the blood of Jesus or you're not. And if you're not, you're still in your sins. You are still dead in your sins. If you were to die tonight, you would die unsaved. This is the truth. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. This is written by the Jewish apostle Paul, a man who was a Christian hater, persecuted, put many of them to death. Okay, then God saved this wretched soul. He was ungodly like you, like me. Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So here it is. You must come to the place, folks. You're an ungodly wretch. You need salvation. You need to be cleansed. You need to be justified before a holy and righteous God. And this is the only way it can happen. It can only happen when you're justified by the blood that Christ shed on that cross. Don't miss this. No other way. This is how it goes down, folks. If you want to be saved from the wrath of God, it's through Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So here it is, talking about eternal life. Either you have it or you don't. All right? So you believe in Christ, you'll have eternal life. But it says here, if you don't believe, you're making God out to be a liar, because you're refusing, you're rejecting the testimony, the record that God gave of his Son. So you're saying, I don't believe that. Well, what you do when you do that, when you reject Christ, you leave yourself in an unsafe condition. You're still in darkness. And that's why Jesus said, you'll find that in John chapter 8. If you don't believe that I am he, meaning the Messiah, you shall die in your sins. So in other words, you die in your sins, you'll ultimately end up in a very real place called hell. This is the gospel, folks. This is real. This is the deal. Oh, yes, it is. So if you have the Son, you have eternal life. You don't have life. You know, back in John chapter 3, Jesus said this to a religious Jewish leader by the name of Nicodemus. He told him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay? So Nicodemus was a rabbi, he was a ruler, he was a teacher, but he didn't have eternal life at that point anyway. And Jesus was telling him, look, you must be born again. So folks, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, meaning your physical body. You were born into this world. That's being born in the flesh. You came out of your mother's womb. But Jesus says you must be born again of the Spirit. It has to happen before you die. Don't leave earth without the Holy Ghost, folks. So you need the Holy Ghost. All right? You need the Holy Ghost. You don't need a pope. Not priestcraft. Okay? It's not about Mary. This is what Jesus set me free from, folks. All right? John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus speaking, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, there's a spiritual transaction that takes place. You're passing from spiritual death to spiritual life, and that is everlasting life. So folks, I'm here to tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is also called the Comforter. This is what Jesus said, John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So Jesus said, hey guys, when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to remind you. He's going to bring to remembrance the things that I spoke to you. In fact, when you read the Bible, folks, it's the Holy Ghost, it's the Comforter that's going to illuminate the scriptures to your heart. Oh, yes. Jesus said this, John 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Wow. So look at that. When the Holy Ghost comes, folks, he's going to testify of Christ. He's going to point you to Christ. I grew up Catholic, raised Catholic, okay? Raised being taught about Mother Mary, going through Mary. Nonsense. The Holy Ghost comes, he points you to Christ. That's what happened to me. And exit stage left, out of darkness I came, out of the system of Roman Catholicism. Why? Because the Comforter came. The Holy Ghost. The Comforter, I love that, the Comforter. The Holy Ghost brings comfort to your soul. It's not the tormentor, okay? He's the Comforter. Jesus said this, John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, that's the Comforter, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So here it is, folks. The Holy Ghost comes. John 14, 26, he says, he shall teach you all things. Here it says, he will guide you into all truth. Once again, you don't need a pope, popery, priestcraft, man-made tradition. You don't need that. What you do need is the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. You need the Holy Ghost. No matter who you are, you need the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, folks, he's going to bear witness that what you're hearing here today is the truth. That's right. I'm pouring my heart out to you, folks. Jesus said this, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I told you I had that embroidered on a jacket that I owned. Maybe I'll put it up on the screen again. I love that jacket. You know, I remember the woman that did that work for me was a Jewish lady. And, you know, I had a conversation when I started talking to her, you know, trying to connect the Passover with the cross, the blood. You know, I was being very gentle. But apparently she didn't receive what I was saying. And she said to me, what is God, some kind of a butcher or something? I was a little taken aback, to be honest with you. But she did a beautiful job, and I told her, man, you did a great job on his jacket. Thank you so much. So, praise God. God is so good. Look at this in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. This is Peter speaking. Look at the boldness upon this man now, the boldness that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." The man was healed. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Wow. So here, listen, guys. Peter's talking to his own Jewish people. It says to all the people of Israel. He's talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to what he says. "Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead." So the man was healed, and he says, you see this guy that's healed? It's the power in the name of Jesus Christ that healed that man. And then he goes on to tell him, he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's how I began the message, folks. I'm telling you, there's no salvation outside of Christ. Oh, yes. So now I'm going to go to the book of Philippians as I get ready to close this message, folks. Philippians chapter 2. Going to look at verses 5 through 11. This is written by the apostle Paul, the Jewish man who formerly persecuted Christians, killed him. Now he's saved, okay? He's rejoicing that he's saved. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," you could say by nature God, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Why? Because he was equal with God. "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Wow. So don't miss this, folks. Jesus didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God because he was equal with God. And he died for you, he died for me. And God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, listen, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, it's coming a day, and I believe very soon, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My word for you today, folks, is make sure you're right with God before you die. Okay, this is why I brought forth this message. Make sure you are right with God. If you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you've never been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ and know it, you've never received the Holy Ghost, hear me, you're dead in your sins, you're still lost. You say, "Well, I go to church." Well, that doesn't mean anything. You go to church every day and still die in your sins and go to hell. Jesus said you must be born again. And there's one way to be made right with God, and I showed you that before, the blood of Christ, folks. That's how you're justified. That's how you're saved from wrath, the wrath of God. You're justified by the blood that Christ shed on the cross, okay? And that's how you reconcile back to God. There is no other way for this to happen. And I'm going to leave it right there, folks. Remember that the Lord is risen. Remember, the risen Christ proves he is the only way of salvation. You be blessed.